Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 6, verse 13 through 18, and Genesis chapter 5, chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Genesis 6, 13 through 18, and Genesis 7, 1 through 5. It said, "So God said to Noah, 'I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in it, and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Make a roof for it, leaving below the roof and opening one cubit high all around. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I am going to bring flood waters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has the breath of life in it, everything on the earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark. You and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you.'" In verses 1 through 5 in chapter 7 read, "The Lord then said to Noah, 'Go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. Take with you 7 pairs of every kind of clean animal, a male and its mate, and 1 pair of every kind of unclean animal, a male and its mate, and also 7 pairs of every kind of bird, male and female, to keep their various kinds alive throughout the earth. 7 days from now, I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. And I will wipe from the face of the earth every living creature I have made.' And Noah did all that the Lord commanded him." Lord, we ask for your power and grace to reside upon your servant. Bring your word like only you can. Bring a sermon of a word of conviction and a word of upliftingness. Cut individuals where they need to be cut, but sew them up just like a master surgeon and heal them where they need to be healed. We love you, God, and we trust your word that it will be in a timely and uplifting fashion. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. As you take your seat, we're still in the series, and this is our finale of Matters of the Heart. But I want to speak to you from the subject of you've got to be crazy. You've got to be crazy. If you're going to do anything for God, you've got to be crazy. Because God will ask you to do some crazy things. Because God said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. And as far as heaven is from the earth, so are my ways from your ways and my thoughts from your thoughts." You've got to be crazy to serve God. I always wondered why God called me to pastor and to this very sermon right here. You've got to be crazy. Most of us don't think about this, or may have not even known that Noah's ark building project took 120 years to complete. The ark measured 300 cubits in length, 50 cubits in width, and 30 cubits in height. In the Hebrew system of measurement, a cubit is equivalent to 17.5 inches. Which means the ark was the size of 1.5 football fields. The ark was 1,518,750 cubic feet, the equivalent of 569 boxcars, you know, those things that the trains pull. Which means if the average size of an animal was the size of a sheep, the ark could hold 125,000 animals. But let me bring it down for you visually a little bit more. There are 2,000 animals from 400 different kinds of species in the National Zoo in Washington, D.C. This means, mathematically, you could fit 60 national zoos on board the ark. That's a lot of stuff, right? All right. To build the ark, you need brains and strength. Do you understand how creative and dedicated Noah had to be to complete this task? He didn't have an instruction manual for a boat. Nobody had ever built a boat before, especially not that big. They were in the middle of the desert. Who in the world dedicates 120 years to build something that had never been done?
Who works on something that if you build it, you may not even need it? According to Jewish tradition, Noah didn't just start building the ark. He planted trees first. After they were fully grown, he cut down the trees, sawed them into planks, and built the boat. Going all out for God is not a sprint. It's a marathon. It doesn't seek 15 minutes of fame. It seeks eternal glory. It doesn't care about public opinion, only the opinion of God. Because you know they were talking about Noah. Come on, somebody. And we already know how Noah was every now and then. Come on, somebody. Every now and then, he'd get that E and J, and it wasn't easy Jesus either. Come on, somebody. Every now and then, Noah would grab Jack and Daniels and have him a good old time. And now he's out there in the middle of the desert building a boat, something nobody had ever seen. Rain had never fallen. Water had never covered the earth. And now you're building an ark in the middle of nowhere. I'm here to tell you right now, if you're not willing to look crazy, every now and then, you have never done anything mighty for God. God will ask you to do some stuff that make no sense at all. He'll tell you like he told Ezekiel, stand out there in the middle of the desert and speak to them dry bones until they get up. There's some dry bones in your life that God is waiting on you to speak to, but until you get up off your blessed assurance, stop trying to look all high and mighty and educated. Sometimes you just got to look downright ignorant for God. Are you willing to look crazy? Oh, you got to look crazy. Noah built an ark because God commanded it. See, you got to understand that the only thing you need to worry about is on your final day that God says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Yeah, yeah. Because you know, you can be highly successful and still go meet your maker, and God would be disappointed because you was highly successful at something he never called you to do. Oh, y'all better hear me right now. If I would have remained a principal, if I died today, I doubt he would have said, well done, my good and faithful servant. I'd still make a little money doing comedy, but if I never would have walked in my destiny, if I was to die right now today, he would have never been able to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. It was crazy. I looked foolish to leave my job, my six-figure salary, to come all the way down up to Newport News to somebody that was giving me a pay cut. But at the end of the day, baby, at the end of the day, unless you wouldn't look crazy, you will never please God. Oh, I'm trying to talk to somebody this morning. Look here. It was intense labor of love. It took him, Brother Jarvis, 43,800 days to build an ark. It took him that long. I don't know what went through Noah's mind when God said, build an ark, but Gary Coleman comes to mind. What you talking about, God? You want me to build an ark, a boat, in the middle of the desert? You want me to build a boat in the middle of the desert, a big boat, the size of 1.5 football fields? Now, all these animals just going to come walk up to the ark now. And you want me to just sit down? First of all, God, when they come, you want me to sit up in here with some lions and tigers and bears? Like they just chilling. Huh? Now, what they going to eat, God? Huh? I'm sure he was like, what in the world? You want me to go get some hyenas and some vultures? Some bees and some flies? You want me to go get some birds? Come on now, some birds. You know birds go anywhere. Come on, somebody. Jesus. But it said in verse 22 in chapter 6 and also verse 5 in chapter 7, it says Noah did everything God commanded him to. You know, you would do some things that nobody has done before if you just follow the instructions of God. You know, you know what I'm saying? You, it's unprecedented. See, but the challenging thing, Brother Gresham, is this. God don't give you the second step until you take the first step. doesn't that irritate you? God will not give you the second step until you take the first step. Until you step out on faith and do what he told you in the beginning, he won't even tell you the second step. God will not reveal to you the entire vision until you begin to walk in the way that he wants you to walk. Once you walk in it, God will give you what you need for the next step. But until you step, you ain't going to see it. See, God got irritated with the Moses generation where he had to split the Red Sea first and then they walked through. No, he said, I want some Joshua faith. I want you to step in the water first and I'll begin to move it as you walk through it. But until you walk by faith and not by sight, I'm not going to do a thing for you at all. I know I split the Red Sea for Moses one way, but if you don't listen to me and walk in the Spirit, Joshua, I'm not going to split it for you the same way. See, we've got to be obedient to the measure of revelation God has given us if we want to receive more of it. See, we want more revelation before we obey. But God wants more obedience before he reveals more. See, you can't go to the next level until you handle this level. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. See, most of us only follow Christ to the point of precedence, the place where we have been before, but no further. We're afraid to do what we've never done because it's unfamiliar territory. You know, church folk drive me crazy. We always did it this way, but ain't number five folk here. Change it. Church, the only place I see that always try to do stuff the same way, whether it's working or not. You got to go to some unfamiliar place. So because we don't want to go to unfamiliar place, we leave new giftings on the table. We leave new anointings on the table. We leave new dreams on the table that God wants to give us because we're so comfortable with the familiar. If you want to do something new, you can't keep doing what you always done. You know, Einstein called that insanity. You continue to do the same thing expecting different results. You crazy. But you crazy in the wrong way. We talking about being crazy, but not that kind of crazy. That sound crazy. See, you've got to put your past fear of the unknown behind. You've got to do something different. See, an impala, for my people in the hood, I'm talking about an animal. I ain't talking about Snoop Dogg and his impala, but I'm talking about an impala, an animal. An impala can jump 10 feet high and 30 feet long, Brother Smith. But the way they keep them in a zoo is with a 3-foot wall. How in the world do you keep an impala, an animal that can jump 10 feet high and 30 feet long in captivity with a 3-foot wall? Because the impala won't jump where it don't know exactly where it's going to land. If it don't know exactly where it's going to land, it won't jump. So it's probably nothing on the other side but green grass, but they still stuck in there with a 3-foot wall. Because if they can't see it, they don't believe it. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying? That's how we walk in life sometimes. We want to see everything before we get there. We want to walk by sight and not by faith. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. Stop trying to see everything God is telling you and learn how to walk by faith. You know why it's so hard to lead people, especially in the church when they ain't got no faith? It's because they always want to see something with their natural ability. Until you really start communing with God, you can't do everything God has you to do because he will do exceedingly abundantly above whatever works in you, which means he can do more than you can do. The problem is you keep limiting God to yourself. That's right. And what you can see. Some of y'all wear bifocals. Stop. You can't see where God trying to take you. Stop trying to see where you're going to land before you launch out and do what God has called you to do. Stop trying to wait on the finances before you step out on faith. Let me tell you something right now. When I got to the, oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Many times, vision, I've stepped out on vision, especially when I'm doing something for the city, and I step out on faith before the money comes, and I keep claiming it that it's going to come, but until I get in the middle of the ocean, then it starts coming.
Are y'all hear what I'm saying?
I claim it all the way, won't never see it, but I keep saying it because faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the something of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you want to have the evidence, maybe just look at the faith in your life. That's all the tangible evidence you need. Stop trying to see with your two eyes and begin to walk in the spirit. Some of us walk in the flesh so much and don't ever implore the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Oh. We need to be able to step into conflict before we even know if it will be resolved. We need to share our faith without knowing how people react to it. We need to put ourselves in a position where if new gifts aren't ignited, we won't succeed. We need to start doing some impossible things that we can't do unless God gives us divine intervention. We got to start doing some things that are far beyond our scope of understanding so that we can begin to walk into new territory that God has ordained.
Thank you.
See, you want to know exactly where you're going to go, but God said in Psalms 23, see, we quote this scripture all the time, but really don't know what we're saying. It just sounds good, and I don't care if you memorize it, but if you ain't walking in the power of it, it means nothing. He said, I'll lead you beside to green pastures. Come on, somebody. I'll lead you to green pastures. That's green pastures that represents places nobody has ever gone before. Because green pastures ain't green if a cow there. If you see a sheep or some oxen, it ain't green no more. They stepping on it, eating it and everything. Green pastures represents a place of new blessings, new territories that nobody has charted before. But how can he lead you to green pastures if you're scared to step out on faith? Don't call yourself a church if you ain't walking by faith. If you got to see every little aspect of something before it happened, I'll show you a dead, decrepit church. A dead one. I'll show it to you. If you don't know how to walk by faith and not by sight, don't be like the Impala and let the devil put a 3-foot wall of circumstance in front of you and you never jump. See, the devil is a little G-God of this world. See, God said the earth belongs to the God and the fullness of thereof. Everything in the earth belongs to God. The silver and gold is his, he said. But the world belongs to the little G God, that's the devil. The world comes from the Greek word cosmos, where we get cosmetology from. You know how some women look good when they paint their face? It ain't real. And the devil begins to throw up circumstances, the cosmos, the cosmetology, the props, the movie sets that makes you scared because his circumstances cause you not to walk by faith. Oh, y'all know what I'm saying. His stuff is not real. I hate when people say, I'm good, even though under the circumstances. Why are you under the circumstance? If you are overcomer, get your crazy self from up under the circumstance and walk by faith. You shall be more than an overcomer, more than a conqueror. Why in the world, if you believe that God has all the power and he's the author and finisher of your faith, he began a good work and you shall finish it. Why in the world are you under the circumstance? That ain't nothing but a 3-foot wall and the devil treating you like an impala. You can jump 10 feet high and 30 feet long, yet you still in your house doing nothing because you let the devil fool you because you tried to walk by sight and not by faith. Let me just show you something. In verse 8 of chapter 6, and it says, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. What? He found favor. See, the favor of God is what God can do for you that you can't do for yourself. See, it's his favor that opens the door of opportunity. It's his favor that turns opposition into support. It's his favor that allows you to complete the degree. Do you want to know how to obtain favor? Well, I'm glad you asked. It starts by surrendering our lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Jesus proclaimed favor of God in his very first sermon. Then he sealed the deal with the death and resurrection. Favor is a function of surrender. If we don't hold out on God, he won't hold out on us. See, some people say, oh, God has favored you and he gave you all this. And I don't know how you was able to survive all this stuff. And it's like, you can do the same thing. No, he just favors you. He don't just favor me. He favors you if you're obedient. I ain't nobody special. My enemies will tell you that. None of us are special. God is not a respecter of person, but he is a respecter of faith. Amen. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. You feel me? See, we've all been given a measure of faith, which means we all were given the same measure. The problem is some of us ain't worked our faith out. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. If you want bigger muscles, you got to go to the weight room. You can't just sit at home and eat. You got to get out in the weight room and do some type of exercise or some type of physical labor. Do something if you want to build your muscles up, right? The same way with faith. If you, your spirit and the Holy Spirit, you are given a measure of faith, but you have to exercise that faith. And until you exercise it, it will stay the same size. Oh, y'all hear what I'm saying? The sword of the Spirit is the word of God, which means, some of us, again, I tell you in Bible study, some of us don't even have a sword. We got a little pocket knife because we ain't reading our word and we ain't walking by faith. We got a little butter knife with no nothing. You can't say you got a sword because you ain't read your Bible enough and you ain't walked by faith enough to magnify the Holy Spirit within you. And so the Holy Spirit just sitting there waiting on you to magnify him so he can do something in your life. But the problem is you getting jealous of somebody else next door because you like they were giving more than you know. They were giving the same measure you had. They just began to walk by faith and not by sight. So it began to magnify. Until you begin, see, the spirit and the flesh will never get along. You know how they say never, I'm going to tell you never. The spirit does not like the flesh, and the flesh does not like the spirit, and your soul is stuck in the middle. And your flesh try to tell you what to do wrong, and your spirit try to tell you what to do right and please God. And so whatever you feed the most, that's what's going to overcome. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying? Whatever you feed the most, if you feed your spirit the most, it's going to overtake the flesh, and you're going to walk by faith and not by sight. But if you feed your flesh more than the spirit, you'll begin to walk by sight and never get up off your blessed assurance and do anything, because the devil will fool you with his circumstances. Look here. Psalm 84:11 says, no good thing does God withhold from those who walk uprightly. See, we position ourselves for the favor of God by walking in humility and purity. Every promise is yes in Christ. Every spiritual blessing becomes our birthright. In one respect, all we need is the favor found at the foot of the cross. But the favor of God is not limited to the spiritual realm. That's why you don't let nobody make you feel bad when God bless you materially. Amen. God talks about prosperity more than anything else in the Bible. And if you don't agree with me, it's because you ain't read it. That's right. It was funny because I was talking to somebody about some real estate stuff. And I was telling them I'm going to do a referral, some things. And they said, well, it was my understanding to do a referral, you had to have a license in Virginia. I said, well, it's the fact that you probably just don't understand. I know the law. That's why I'm a broker. You understand? So although your understanding is really your opinion. See, people begin to always think a Christian is more of a Christian when you broke, busted, and disgusted. No, Jesus didn't just die for your salvation. He said, I came to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. Y'all know what I'm saying? He came to bless you with a good measure of blessing, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I ain't supposed to be broke. I ain't supposed to be down and out. If I'm supposed to be a blessing to everybody, how can I be a blessing to somebody else if I can't pay my own bills? Ain't gonna walk around preaching about prosperity every day, but I'm here to tell you, baby, if you read your Bible, you'll realize that Jesus Christ talked more about prosperity than in heaven and hell combined. You gotta begin to walk by faith and not by sight. And God not only blesses you with salvation, but he blessed you materially. You know God wants you to be successful in everything you do. He wants you to be a successful lawyer. He wants you to be a successful pastor. He wants you to be a successful nurse. He wanna bless your manuscript. He wanna bless your court case. He want to bless your surgery. He want to bless you in everything you do. But the problem is, are you obedient enough to get his favor? I'd rather have favor before money, because favor would get me something money can't buy. Even if I don't have the money directly in my account, favor will fund the vision that God has given me. See, y'all praying for the wrong thing. You praying for money. You praying for all these different things. Pray for favor. And when God has favor on your life, you'll never be broke. I've never, what did David say? I used to be young, but now I'm old. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Now, don't get me wrong. I ain't got to beg you, but I may ask you every now and then. Yeah. I ain't going to beg the police foundation for nothing, but I'm going to ask every now and then. I ain't going to beg the city to give me nothing, but I ask every now and then. I ain't going to beg Patrick Henry Moore to give me nothing, but I ask every now and then. Why? Because I know I got favor. Favor. You know they say favor ain't fair, but as long as it's good to me, I don't care. Nobody getting mad about favor but folk that ain't got favor, Brother Coleman. People that ain't got favor, that's who get mad about your favor. Oh, you better tell somebody the same blessing I got may not be for you, but it's enough blessing for all of us. If you stop hating on me, get on your knees and be obedient to God, he'll bless you like he blessed me. I'm here to tell you right now, what's for you is for you, and what's for me. Favor. I got favor. You got to begin to say, I got favor. You got to begin to speak those things that be not as though they were. Even if you broke, even if you're living in the trunk of your car, just say it right now, I got favor. You got to begin to tell everybody, tell your neighbor, I got favor. I know I don't look good right now, but I got favor. I know I may be broke right now, but I got favor. The problem is, we keep talking about, I'm broke. We down like four flat tires. Well, I don't want to be down with you. We up like four good tires if you want to hang with me. Stop speaking crazy stuff. You better look at DMX. He said, y'all gonna make me lose my mind. He lost it. You get what you speak. Speak those things that be not as though they were. Tell your neighbor, I got favor. Whew. Faith is being willing to look crazy. Faith is willing to look foolish. See, if you start acting crazy and running reckless with faith, If you start doing that, God will begin to give you some stuff that you can't buy with your own resources. He'll begin to call you to accomplish some things your education ain't taught you. He'll begin to take you places your ability can't get you. He'll begin to bring you into some circles that your status shouldn't even bring you to. I'm going to tell you right now, my doctorate degree don't do nothing for me. It's the favor of God. In fact, if it wasn't for favor, I wouldn't have my doctorate degree. Favor! I'm going to just change the word right quick. Instead of saying God, favor is the author and finisher of my faith. Because you got favor in God, you can do things that no man or woman has ever done before. Faith may know a bit of art, something that ain't never been seen before. In the middle of the desert, what desert are you in your life that God has told you to build an ark in that you scared to step out on faith and do? You better make that first step, because God not going to tell you the next step until you make the first one. It's like a scavenger hunt. Until you find the first clue, you can't get the second clue. Until you find the second clue, you can't get the third clue. Ooh, trying to talk to somebody. Faith is willing to look crazy and foolish. Can I tell you how many preachers told me I was crazy? One preacher came in my own pulpit at this church and called me crazy to y'all while I was sitting right here. Told me I was crazy to leave my job and come pastor you. But let me tell the devil right now, and that pastor too, I'm still here, baby. It don't matter how crazy you call me. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. I ain't worried about no probation. I ain't worried about no check. I just want to do what God told me to do. And when you do what God tells you to do, you get favor. I'm trying to get to it. I'm trying to get you out on time. I'm trying not to go Kojic on you. I'm trying to. I'm trying to make sure Agabus don't fall out the window like Paul. I'm trying. Faith. It's the willingness to look foolish. I keep stopping right here. Noah looked foolish building an ark in the desert. Sarah looked foolish buying maternity clothes at 90. Moses looked foolish asking Pharaoh to free his slaves. The Israelite army looked foolish marching around Jericho burning, blowing trumpets. David looked foolish attacking Goliath with a sling and a rock. The wise man looked foolish following a star to find a son of God who was born in a manger in an undisclosed location. Peter looked foolish stepping out of the boat to walk on water. Jesus looked foolish hanging on the cross naked, claiming to be the son of God, dying for our sins. Oh, but the results speak for themselves. Noah stayed afloat during the flood. Sarah gave birth to Isaac. Moses delivered Israel out of Egypt. The walls of Jericho fell down. David defeated the giant Goliath. The wise man found the Messiah. Peter walked on water, and Jesus rose from the dead. If you're not willing to look foolish, you foolish. Yeah. If you ain't willing to be a fool for God, you a fool. Can I tell you, like CeeLo, I think you crazy when you think you in control. You're not in control. God is the author and finisher of your faith. And until you crazy enough to step out of the boat and walk on water, you will never do anything great for God. Your fear has kept you from walking on the water. Your fear has kept you from killing the giant. Your fear has kept you from the enemy's walls falling down. Your fear has kept you from defeating your Jericho. Your fear has kept you stagnated. But perfect love casts out all fear. When you really love God and you really trust him. See, I don't trust that my love for God saves me. But I trust that his love for me does. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying? Remember we talked about Peter and God gave me a revelation that I thought he stepped on the boat so he could look good. But really, he stepped out of the boat because the boat was going to sink. And he saw Jesus at peace. Hold on, Jesus. I don't want to die in this boat. Let me walk on the water. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. When you understand that God is the author and finisher of your faith, you understand that your life depends on every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Father and not the bread of your money, not your job. When you understand that God is your source and not your job and not your paycheck, we understand that God is your source and not America. We understand that God is your source and not your frat or sorority affiliated. Well, you know that God is your source and not anything else. Your fear and reverence for him will cause you to walk by faith. It ain't that I ain't scared of people when they come at me sometimes. It's just that I'm always scared of God more. And when you begin to reverence God and understand that he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world, we say it all the time, but he's greater than your bills. He's greater than your cancer. He's greater than your sickness. He's greater than your infirmity. He's greater than your setback. He's greater than he's greater than anything you face. His name is above any other name, not just my name and your name. Sickness is in the name, say Jesus. Cancer is in the name, say Jesus. Uh-huh. Welfare, depression, poverty, it's a name, put Jesus on it. His name is above anything you can name. Nothing can stop you but your own mind. Stop letting the devil play with your thoughts. Let me get out of here. I'm sure Noah look crazy. But he got to the point where he said, I got to stop playing it safe. He got to the point and said, I can't sit up here and keep sitting on my blessed assurance my whole life. I got to get up and do something. Aren't you tired of living the same old boring life? You know what normal is? Boring. Some of y'all come here, I want the same program. I want to hear the same choir on first Sunday. The same choir on second Sunday. The same choir on third Sunday. Same choir on fourth Sunday. I want everything to be exactly where it always be. And your life is lined up the same way you try to control church. When you try to control your own life, I show you a boring one.
That's right.
See, you know why a lot of people get caught up in sin? Called sin fun. Can you keep it real? Whatever you did that was sinful, 9 out of 10, it was fun. Can we just keep that real? Can I keep it real? But when you serve God and walk by faith, that adventure will be greater than your sin. But as long as you're sitting down doing nothing, sin can always look better than righteousness, because righteousness is boring unless you're walking by faith. Look at the shows that make money that I don't watch, because I can't deal with all that foolishness. I got no foolishness in my life. My life already crazy. I got no folk trying to kill me. I ain't got to watch Empire. I got no problem in solving people's lives. I don't need Olivia Pope. You feel me? Because my life is already an adventure. Because when you begin to get led beside the still waters and led to green pastures, you walking in places nobody has ever walked before.
Oh, y'all don't hear me.
Let me just use Noah so y'all won't get mad at me. I'm sure Noah, looked crazy. He built an ark in the middle of the desert. No rain had come. He was in a realm totally unknown. I was in a like, Noah, what's wrong with you? 120 years he built the ark. And the way I got it, you got to look back in chapter 5. He began to say he was 500 years old, and God made a covenant with him, and he was 600 years old before they started building the ark. But God had already made a covenant before his children were born, but they were born when he was 500. And then he gave him 120 years to repent. So that's how long it took Noah to build the ark from when he told him. But you got to read your Bible to understand what I'm talking about. Because some of y'all been sitting like, how he know it took 120 years? I read my Bible. He said, I will give you the keys to the kingdom. But see, the keys, if you need keys to the kingdom, that means it's some hidden stuff in there that you ain't seen. You know what I'm saying? See, if he just gave you the keys to something that was simple to your understanding. See, the disciples never understood it either, but they knew they could talk to Jesus afterwards. They sit out there, I don't know either, but I'm going to just wait to Jesus for everybody to leave. You know, you don't want to raise hand in class, so you just wait till everybody to leave. And at the end, hey, I got a question, professor. I ain't want to look dumb in class. And they'd be like, well, you should ask the question because there's no dumb question. And everybody else might have had the same question. Well, I don't care. I'm going to just wait to ask you now. And that's what they did. They didn't understand the parables until Jesus explained them. And see, the problem is you don't understand the word of God because you don't read it enough and you don't have a relationship with him. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. I can't give y'all the secret because if y'all read y'all Bible like I'm supposed to, I wouldn't even need no job. We need to be no pastor that y'all read y'all Bible. But I'd say that in confidence because I know you ain't going to read it no how. Amen. Job security, I tell you, job security. I tell you how to take my job, and I know you ain't going to do it. Oh, Jesus. See, I know something wrong with me. But what it say, you've got to be crazy. See, we really don't stop to think about how the ark was. Look at the ark. Come on now. Noah had to put in much work. He was feeding and cleaning and caring for thousands of animals around the clock. One grown elephant produces 80 pounds of waste a day. Come on now. One elephant. And remember, he said, get 7 pairs of clean animals. Birds flying around, and you know they don't care where they go. When I see birds, I get up under there. I don't like birds flying over me. Even I love the fact that I hate saying dirty bird. I hate it because I don't like birds. When I was in Mayday and Field, I was drinking the milk and the bird boop, fell right in front of my face. It didn't hit me, but since 5th grade, I ain't like birds. They ain't got no respect, I tell you. Just everywhere. I'm like, can you imagine? They don't even stop just flying. It's everywhere. You got elephants and lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. Yeah. All this stuff. I know it had to stink. What Febreze going to do? What a Glade plug-in gonna solve? You got all this waste and it stunk. That's how obedience looks. It stinks sometimes. In fact, it stinks all the time. See, at least it stinks for the right reason. See, some of us stink because of sin. But that's a bad stink. But when you really go through vision, it's messy. Somebody gonna poop on you. But remember, they ain't number fertilizer. Some people gonna betray you. Some people gonna throw darts at you. Some things gonna fail. It's just like an art. If you're really stepping up to do vision for God, it gets messy. And the thing about it is, it takes a long time sometimes. It took Noah 120 years to build the ark. Take note from Noah. Look, we got to be patient when God gives us a vision. Remember, the race is not given to the swift nor the strong, but those who endure. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. See, we tend to overestimate what God can do in a year. Of course, he can do what he want to do, but we overestimate what he can do in a year because we always in a hurry. We live in the Twitter age, the Instagram age. We live in a tweet where we don't want to talk too long. We want everything to be so short and concise. We don't want any detail. You understand? We want everything to be short and sweet. We live in a microwave generation where women begin to put turkeys in the microwave thinking they're going to find a husband. Dried up bird. You don't know how to let it marinate. Nobody have no patience. We overestimate what God can do in a year, but then underestimate what God can do in 10 years. Pastors run off from churches in 2 or 3 years and go somewhere else, and it'll be the same trouble over there, baby, because wherever you go, you're going to have the same stuff because you got to deal with people. And the same mess you had over here, you're going to have in the next house. You just need to learn how to be faithful to God and carry the vision out. Don't you let nobody run you out of your blessing. Don't you let nobody run you out of your purpose. You got to get to the point where you say, I'm going to be steadfast and unmovable. You will never shake my faith. See, this is the problem, Deacon Ross. What we do is try to just get finished. Some of us don't remember nothing we learned in school because we just wanted a degree. Don't know nothing we learned. We just got up out of there. The minute we took the test, we dumped all that stuff out. We ain't care. We just want a degree. And sometimes we just want to accomplish what God has called us, but it's not the accomplishment it is. It's also the process. It's the journey. It's not just you obtaining it. It's what are you being made to be as you go on your journey, as you go through the life's challenges, and as your journey begins to purge you, who are you as an end result through the journey? God gives you something beyond your natural reach because he wants to stretch you. Because when you begin to get stretched, you begin to walk more in the spirit and not by sight, because now you depend on God more than your natural ability. So now you stay on your knees instead of trying to resolve everything with your own mind. And you know who can play tricks on your mind? It's the devil. The devil can't play tricks on faith, because when you walk by faith and not by sight, you don't even know why you're doing it yourself. All you know is God told me to do it, so I'm doing it. So the devil don't have no room to play with my thoughts. What I'm telling you today is this: whatever God has given you that you have not obtained yet, it's not that he's withholding it from you. He's using it to build your character. He's using it to pull the chaff out of you. He's using it to mature you in your faith. Whatever you can get right then and right away, you don't really even know if you want it. You don't know, because it's just right there. God gives you something that you have to chase by faith and stay in your prayer life to obtain, because it's not just the purpose that he wants you to accomplish. It's a level of maturity of faith that he's trying to work in you. And remember, being obedient to God is messy. You're going to have challenges all the time. You're going to have challenges. Faith is the challenges are there to cause you to walk from one level to the next. And you understand that when you begin to be obedient to God, it doesn't get any easier. It gets messier. To much is given, much is what? Which means the more you grow in faith, the more God gonna ask of you. So I know this crazy, and I'm going to sit down. This crazy. What happened is, you know your reward from winning one battle is a bigger battle. He'll give you some rest. See, I'm just waiting. I'm like, I got some rest at Newbies Grove for a minute, but Lord have mercy. I know another day going to come. You know why? Because God wants to make sure that you always depend on him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen. God will always put a challenge before you because he wants to make sure you walk by faith and not by sight.